And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, this show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains, once again, we call Auburn. Yes, indeedy, and straight across the border to Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Oh, just the radio. And then, oh, by the way, there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, tuning in on places like Rumble and X and Facebook and YouTube. And, oh, by the way, our website, rightsidemedia.org, because we live stream the show every single day. You can see inside the studio. And then there's all you podcasters that catch it after the fact. What I'm saying by saying all that is that we love you. We know you're all out there. And whatever way you catch this show, it means the world to us. So thank you very much for being a part of the fabric of our very lives. All right. It is Friday. It is halfway through hour number two, which means we're halfway through the show. Halfway through hour number two on a Friday, we always do this thing where we just throw the mic over to JP, because JP happens to be a guru on sports, like all things sports. And we run it in two segments. The first is called The Three and Out. He has a top three stories he thinks are in sports right now. We come back from a break. He does the two-minute warning, where I've got a timer and a buzzer, and he runs 2 minutes per on each sports-related story. JP, you have the best sound effect of all of them, courtesy of some Auburn sorority girls. Hit it.
JP on sports!
All right, JP, Three and Out, go.
Can I just add, I thought it was cool with a thunderstruck
right there. Thunderstruck right there. Yeah, right when you probably hear it in the microphone right now.
Yeah. Well, so I think last week I talked about this story about the MLB coming back to Atlanta with the All-Star Weekend after, in 2021, they took it away for the most political, stupid reason I've ever seen. But the only reason I'm bringing it back up is because I think the day after that, actually, this was brought up at one of the press conferences for the MLB All-Star Weekend, where Pat McAfee was hosting it, and it had Dave Roberts, who is the Dodgers manager right now, one of the managers for the NL team in the All-Star game this past weekend, and then several other players. But Dave Roberts was actually the lead voice for moving the game from Atlanta to Colorado.
Was he really?
Said that, you know, we need to be relentless with our voices. This is something we can't stand by. And, you know, we question, I may not be the manager of the All-Star game if it's in Atlanta. Yeah. Like, being a complete and total political activist on moving the game to Colorado, which is fine. However, if you're going to come back to Atlanta 4 years later with the same law on the book, and just play complete coy and act like nothing ever happened. He was actually confronted by a journalist.
Making a lot of contact.
Yeah. He was actually confronted by a journalist. I would play the clip, but it's too long. But a journalist, a liberal journalist, asked him, you know, about this and said he said this in 2021, but now nothing's changed and he's back in Atlanta and everything's fine. She also said something about how Georgia has the most ICE arrests or something. I disagree with the framing of her question. However, I think that's a very fair question. What's changed? You know, you were so vocal back in 2021, and now you're back, and nothing ever happened. We're just back in Atlanta. And he gave the funniest answer. He played complete, I'm not a politician. I don't want to talk about politics. I'm happy to be back in Atlanta. Atlanta's a great city. I don't want to take away from the players. It's, oh, really? You were a complete and total political activist 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And like I said, nothing has changed. The law has not changed at all. So, but I think it's important. I would like to just move on and act like that didn't happen. But I think it's important to call it out and mock how stupid the decision was, because if Dave Roberts was like, if he stood on principle and either A, didn't coach in the game, or said, I agree with what I said back then and actually was consistent, I would respect that. But I think the fact that he's changed his course and changed his mind just shows that how baseless it was in the first place 4 years ago. And it was based on just talking points from the left. And during a time in 2020 and 2021 where everybody was a political activist, social justice warrior, I think we got to mock it so that it won't happen again. It's like, play a side-by-side of Dave Roberts 4 years apart, and it's like, okay, so you actually didn't mean what you said in the first place, and you costed the city of Atlanta millions of dollars.
You were an opportunist.
Yeah.
That was about to say, and it cost people jobs. It cost a huge amount of tax revenue. The city had already spent money in preparation.
Yep.
There were people who had bought like food truck licenses and God knows what else to get ready. gone.
Yep, and it also humiliated the state, humiliated the Braves, humiliated the city of Atlanta, and it's like, you deserve to be called out for that, because you don't get to just play the, oh, I'm not a politician.
But what did the Braves do as a follow-up?
They won the World Series.
That's right, yes, they did.
You know, it was great karma. And actually, this past All-Star game in Atlanta, some are saying, was one of the greatest ever. So justice was served in that sense, but Dave Roberts deserves to be mocked.
Okay.
So that's what I'm here for.
Okay. I will take your mocking and raise it by three. There you go. All right. That's one. What's two?
This is kind of along the same thread of the point of why I'm talking about this story. But so the ESPYs was this past weekend.
The ESPYs. The ESPN Awards.
The Oscars for the sports world. And they had a comedian, Shane Gillis, host the event.
Oh, boy. Shouldn't ought to have done that.
No. Shane Gillis is right now one of the top comedians in the world, I would say. I mean, he's being wildly successful. However, the sports world is, especially people who would show up at the ESPYs, is filled with people like Dave Roberts, who in 2021, made political statements when they have no idea what they're talking about. And they for some reason, people who get paid millions of dollars to play with a ball for sports, they act so pretentious and not able to laugh at jokes. But there were many cases of that where Shane Gillis said some jokes that were not politically correct.
There's too many people with Kaepernickism.
Yes, Kaepernickism. But he said a lot of jokes that, fell flat because of the audience. One of them was something about how Joe Rogan wanted me to come and capture Adam Silver because he thinks he's an alien. He's like, Donald Trump sent me to do that. Same with Juan Soto. And it's like, okay, political beliefs aside, it's like, it's a joke. You can laugh. And nobody, he actually was like getting booed by some people in the audience. But it's like that right there is a microcosm of how detached the athletes are from their fans. Because if you go on Twitter, the sports world was very much, thought, some people were saying it was one of the greatest, monologues, comedy monologues for an ESPYs ever. And the athletes themselves, like I said, from their ivory towers, I guess, they can't even laugh at a joke. And they're so, stuck up and pretentious that it's like, let loose, laugh, it's just, but I think it is a microcosm into, like I said, these athletes who are they get paid so much money to just, play with the ball, play with sports. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I think it shows a lot. Like,
are you able to tell the Caitlin Clark joke?
I mean, he said it. I mean, if you want me to say it, I can. It's something about how, after she's playing, she's going to go work at Waffle House to do what she loves best, and that's fist fighting black women. That's what he said. So, you can think whatever you want of the jokes, but it's like, it's a joke. It's a bottom line, it's a joke. So I think it's fair to say, though, that Disney won't be having Shane Gillis back to host anything.
Didn't Shane Gillis get brought on for Saturday Night Live and fired before he even started because they thought he was too controversial?
The first time he was on SNL, some past controversial tweets of his surfaced and he got canceled.
Oh, jeez.
But he has come back to be very successful. There were some athletes there that still, gave him the proper laughter, but I don't know. It's funny. It's funny to see that lighten up. It's the ESPYs. Know what I mean?
It's the ESPYs. I saw that Simone Biles got some kind of a big female award.
She got an award. I did. I can't remember what it was.
Did Riley Gaines get an award?
No, but Simone should have gotten the award for the best canceling of herself on X. That's what she did.
Riley Gaines should have gotten a Saving Title IX award.
Yes.
But they won't do that.
No, they definitely won't do that. This is ESPN running this.
All right, man, that's two. What's three?
Well, the British Open is this weekend.
British Open.
The last major of the year. Still got the Ryder Cup and then the Tour Championship later this year. But currently right now, Scottie Scheffler is sitting up top at 7-under. He shot 10-under today. It was just a great... I mean, he's the number one player in the world. He's bouncing back. He did not play very well at the U.S. Open, but he's come back at the British Open playing very well. However, there was a viral clip of Scottie Scheffler that I think deserves to be talked about. I was just talking about the athletes and the managers who are way overly political correct... trying to be politically correct and a political activist and completely out of touch. Scottie Scheffler is the complete opposite of that. Scottie Scheffler is a very open Christian, and he's talked about his faith very much. And but he had a 5-minute clip where he talked about how much little golf means to him in the grand scheme of things, and talked about how much as important it is to be a great father, and you know, his faith, and went on like I said, for like 5 minutes. And I'm just sitting there, and how rare is it to see the top athlete in the world in any sport openly talking about his faith and saying, you know, this golf thing is fun. I'm very competitive. I love getting paid to do what I love to do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is just golf, and talk about how much he loves being a father, how much, you know, like I said, his faith, and said if it ever came to that his golf game was getting in the way of being a good father, he would leave golf in an instant. And I just see that as like, how refreshing is that to see that on the grand stage? I would play some of it, like I said, if it wasn't 5 minutes long. But if you haven't seen it, you need to go check it out. Scottie Scheffler talking before the British Open. But, you know, like I said, with the sports world being sometimes way too into the politics and on the left side of politics, it's refreshing to see the best golfer in the world have some perspective on things and talk about his faith. So it's hard not to root for Scottie Scheffler. Hopefully he goes and wins the British Open today after all that. But I thought that was important to talk about. Enough bashing of the athletes. I think it's important to talk about when somebody like Scottie Scheffler does that. So
perfect. I like it. All right, that's three and out, man. You got three and out right up to the wire. So take it to a break, JP. We'll come right back. Round two of JP on Sports is the 2-minute warning. I got a timer and a buzzer, and he runs down the stories that he thinks are worth bringing up, 2 minutes each. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades is what we're doing. All right, so this is round two of JP on Sports. We call it the 2-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and he's got 2 minutes per. And ready, first one, go.
Is Nick Saban coming back to coaching?
Ah, but listen, that's right up there with the Epstein files.
There's some rumors out there, and to be honest, I don't really believe them. However, there are rumors because Greg McElroy, former quarterback for Nick Saban at Alabama and now in the ESPN world, claims that he heard from a very reliable source in the know that Nick Saban's coaching days are definitely not over. And then Lane Kiffin, who is one to stir the pot on everything, went to the SEC media days and pretty much said himself that he also doesn't believe Saban is done with coaching.
Holy cow.
Now, his daughter put up a post, I believe either yesterday or today, saying that this is complete nonsense. Saban is not coming back to coaching, and everybody can stop getting their hopes
up.
He's
like 70 years old, isn't
he? Yeah, he is over 70 years old. And somebody, it was one of the coaches, I can't remember who it was, said that the boss at home is going to make that decision of if he's coming back to coaching, not Saban. But it begs the question, okay, if Saban were to come back to coaching, would he come back to Alabama? You would certainly think you can't just fire Kalen DeBoer and put Saban back in his spot. He can't do that. Would he go to some other place besides Alabama? You also think that's not possible at all. If he were to come back to coaching, it's like some people have floated an NFL, come back to the NFL. He did try that. He was not successful at it. The UFL, which is the off branch of professional football. It's a fun conversation, although I think it's not going to go anywhere. Saban's not going to come back to coaching. He's got his perfect gig right now where he's getting millions of dollars at ESPN to talk college football. And let's just say being a head coach of a college football team ages you. And if he's already made it out 72 or 73 years old, I would say enjoy retirement. But Greg McElroy obviously believes he's got a reliable source. So we'll see if it comes to fruition, but I would bet on no.
I heard it's the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
The Chanticleers. I mean, who doesn't want to coach for that the tangerine, whatever color field they have there?
There it is. Hit me some buzzer, man. There you go. All right. Resetting the clock. That's the first 2 minutes. 2 minutes starts again right now.
We have another instance of transgenders in sports. However, this is kind of a success story.
What?
Sadie Schreiner was excluded from a woman's race apparently 15 minutes before was going to race in this woman's race.
Is it a running race, a bike race?
A cross country/track race.
Okay.
So Princeton told her, or him, excuse me, went up to him and says, I don't want to be, according to Sadie Schreiner, somebody said, I don't want to be assuming anything, but it looks like you're a male and this is a strictly woman's race and you would not be racing. Sadie Schreiner is now suing Princeton for apparently taking away her rights to compete in this event. But I look at that and I go, wow, good on Princeton for actually you know, abiding by the federal law now because of the executive order to do exactly that. But now Sadie Schreiner is suing Princeton over this. I would bet that Princeton would win in this matter. But also kind of along the same thread, we were talking about NPR earlier, who is now defunded, who we all love, has brought up an article that says that, and this is a quote, the international governing body for track and field will now ban trans women athletes from elite women's competitions, citing a priority for fairness over inclusion despite limited scientific evidence of a physical advantage.
Despite limited scientific evidence?
Of a physical advantage.
Oh my gosh. Your taxpayer dollars at work.
Yeah, well, no longer anymore, thank God. But, you know, this could be a shift of the tide. You know, we could be seeing this become more normal, and hopefully we don't see, you know, softball championships like in Minnesota be won by dudes who are pitching and having shutouts for three straight games. Hopefully there's more instances of Sadie Schreiner where the schools are like, yeah, no, actually this is only for women, so, you know, get out of here.
All right, there you ran right up to the wire. Okay, so reset the clocks. By the way, who does Sadie race for? Who is she running for?
I don't know. I'd have to go look at this, but Princeton was hosting it.
Yeah. Okay, good on Princeton. Ready, go.
So we have a standoff between the SEC and the Big Ten regards to a new college football playoff format. I think I've talked about this a couple of months ago whenever this discussion started, where the SEC and the Big Ten are on the same page that they want more at-large bids per conference. Now, I'm against this completely. I'll just say that. They want a 16-team format, and no matter you know what the records are for the schools in any conference, they want, I believe the SEC wanted 5 automatic bids per year. So automatically the top 5 teams from the SEC are in, and I believe the Big Ten was 3. But now we're at a standoff because the SEC wants even more at-large bids than 5. And the Big Ten is not budging, and they want to agree to the original proposal. And they also want the in-conference games from the SEC to be bumped from 8 to 9. I look at this, and I'm like, oh, man, the Pandora's box that we have open, pushing it to 12. I was against 12. I think 8 is around the right number. But now 16 is way too much. And at-large bids, I don't care who the conference is, SEC, Big Ten, whoever, the best teams need to play in the best. I don't want at-large bids. If you're the best team, you play in the college football playoff. And even as an Alabama fan, I'll tell you, a 9-3 Alabama team should not have been in the playoffs last year because we didn't earn the right to be in there. But having at-large bids is just a joke. It's a participation trophy at that point. And it's all about one thing, and that's money. Because SEC teams view that if they're in, they're going to get more – well, they are going to get more money, but they think that more people are going to watch. And I think the college football playoffs saw the numbers were bad with teams like SMU getting in and getting demolished. So I can understand – and Indiana. I can understand the argument, but this is not the answer. Change the criteria for teams that get in instead of just a record and look at strength of schedule. Don't expand it to 16 with at-large bids for each conference. That's just a joke, in my opinion.
It'll be 16, and then they'll double it to 32.
And then we'll be like March Madness.
And they'll do a raffle to see who gets in.
Yeah.
And then, oh, and by the way, the buzzer already sounded. I forgot to hit the buzzer. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
But I look at this and think that's just absolutely asinine. And next thing you know, it's going to be like you said, a whole batch of participation
64
trophies.
Teams playing, and then the college football season's going to go until next December.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Just going to keep on going.
Well, it's a good thing I can't get my clock reset, so we're done. That worked out.
We're done.
All right, good job, man. JP on sports, as always, every Friday, halfway through hour number 2. We'll do more. Phil Williams, hour number 3, coming up. Y'all stay tuned.